welcome to each and every one of you. It's good to see you, and those who are watching online or who will be watching, a warm welcome to you as well. May you receive God's special blessing today. Our scripture reading is found in Isaiah, the 62nd chapter, and verse 10. Shall we stand for the reading of God's word? Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the peoples. Please be seated. Heavenly Father, I need the help of heaven to deliver this message as always. I pray that you will bless this stammering tongue and this faulty mind, that this message will be preached and taught to your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah gives us an admonition to lift up a standard for the people. And this indicates very plainly that the standard has been lowered, or it's been cast down. It also tells us there would be no need to set up a standard if it was still in place. And it's the responsibility of the church, it's the responsibility of you and I to raise up a standard for the people to rally to in time of danger. Now, the standard we're referring to is a flag or a banner that gets held up in a time of battle or after the victory. You all have seen the famous picture of Iwo Jima. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. But you see the soldiers, after their hard-fought battle, raise the banner of the United States, raise that flag of the United States on the top of that hill, indicating that they had taken the hill. It's a must to hold up in time of battle. How often have you seen in movies of old, the enemy has the troops surrounded? It seems like a hopeless cause. And then you hear the trumpet sound and they look and they see that flag and the cavalry approaching. And sometimes, of course, the enemy has us surrounded. The enemy has us down. The enemy is ready for the final blow. Look up and see the blood-stained banner of the cross. That flag will never be defeated. That standard will never go down, because Jesus, who has never known defeat, is carrying that banner. But what happens when that banner is not there? What happens when we don't see that standard? We become confused and chaos ensues. So our text makes it crystal clear that we must hold high the standard it professes to believe. Hold high the standard for the people. Lift up a standard. And it's a standard, is a rule to guide the believers in thought, word, and action. Paul indicates his concept of the standards in the church. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. You know the text. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8, Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Let me ask you, who is the one who meets all these qualifications? The answer is Jesus, right? Oh, that we would learn more of him. He's the one that's pure. He's the one that's noble. He's the one that's worthy of praise. We need to meditate more on Jesus. We need to study more about Jesus. Our whole theme should be more about Jesus. The whole Adventist message should be more about Jesus. It's a rule of faith, which is a common denominator for our conduct. If it's more about Jesus and if we behold him, we'll become more like him. And then our lives will be elevated and ennobled. The Bible, and the Bible only, is the God-provided standard to guide our lives. It's the one that tells us about Jesus, isn't it? Soon as there was sin, there was Jesus. There was a Savior. There was a Messiah. And as soon as we sin, there's Jesus still there for us. He is our advocate. He's one called alongside to help us. He's the one that will lift us up. He's the one that will forgive us. He's the one that pleads his blood on our behalf. There's Jesus, able to save to the uttermost those that come to him by faith. And he's in all 66 books of the Bible. All of it. Many Christians ignore 3/4 of the Bible. They ignore the Old Testament. But I want to let you know, Jesus is clearly revealed there. He's just as clearly revealed in the Old Testament as he is in the New. Read your Bible, the whole Bible. 2 Timothy 3:15 to 17 says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." And what are they able to do? They're able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. My brothers and sisters, the Bible Jesus read was the Old Testament. Don't ignore the value of the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 19. The law of the Lord, he says in verse 7, is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The law of the Lord is perfect. What he's talking about here, converting the soul. That's the Old Testament, isn't it? Much of it wasn't even written when David had wrote this. Perfect because it talks about Jesus. It talks about God, who is perfection. And that includes also the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? It includes the Ten Commandments. You know, that I was reading in a book entitled The Old Testament by Yancey. And someone asked him to quote just one of the Ten Commandments. He asked the audience, you know, Jay Leno, he asked the audience, "Can you name one of the Ten Commandments?" Not one hand went up. Not one hand. Shameful in this country. You have free access to the Word of God, and it sits on a shelf covered in dust. Behold, one came to him, it says in Matthew 16, "Good teacher, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, it's very interesting how Jesus answered him. He said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Now, what is Jesus saying here? That he's not good? Is Jesus saying, "Look, I'm not good, only God is good"? Or is he saying, "Look, are you ready to accept me as your Lord and Savior? Are you ready to accept me that I am the one, that I am Emmanuel, God with us? Are you willing to accept that I am the Word that was with God, the Word that is God? Are we willing to accept him as the one who is good, the one who is God? Are you willing to allow him to put his law in your hearts that you may reflect his character, that you may walk in the light as he is in the light and enjoy that fellowship that he has for us? He continues, says, "But if you want to enter eternal life, keep the commandments." Keep the commandments. And he said, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor and yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" What do I still lack? Do we come to Jesus and ask him, what do we lack? Because what we lack can be found in him. He's able to meet your needs. He's able to meet that which you lack. It's impossible for you and I to keep this law, isn't it? It's impossible. We lack the ability to do it, but Jesus doesn't lack the ability. Jesus doesn't lack anything. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He says, "Let me in." And when you do that, he says, I will write my laws on your heart and your statutes and my statutes. I will transform your character. You can have victory because my victory can be yours. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Jesus offered this young man a choice. This was a young man who was told to sell all that he had and give it to the poor. And Jesus did that because he knew he had a love of money. He had a love of things. And you know, the Lord appeals to us. He offers us a choice. You can have this world, along with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can have it all. Or you can choose another world. You can choose a world where things won't be stolen, where moths won't eat and corrupt, where rust won't come in, where your car won't break down because you won't need a car. Things won't be perished with the using. Which world will you choose? His world is a world where there is no sorrow, no suffering, no death. His world is one where he will wipe every tear from your eyes. Many are choosing this world of suffering, of sorrow, of death, of wars, and economic problems, and disease. The choice is ours. So the Lord appeals to us to search the Scriptures. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, the Gospel of John. Look at verse 39. Jesus is talking here. He says, you what? You search the Scriptures. Not merely read them, but you search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life, that you may have life. Verse 47, if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Referring to the writings of Moses. Again, the Old Testament. If you didn't believe Moses, how are you going to believe what I say to you? Do we believe? Do we believe? And does that belief lead us to action? Does that belief lead us to a closer walk with Jesus? Does that belief lead us to be better husbands, better wives, better sons, better daughters, better workers in Christ's kingdom? What is our standard as Seventh-day Adventists? Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 20. Many of you know this verse. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to what? According to this word, it is because there is what? No light in them. There's a complete absence of light. When we hear a message that goes against the message of God's word, we can know it's not coming from heaven. Is that not our standard? If it doesn't come from the Bible, it needs to be rejected. It's not based on feeling. It's not based on emotion. It's based on what God has taught us. And sometimes what God taught us is not popular. It's not easy to digest. It's hard. Jesus said, wide is the path that leads to destruction, but the path that leads to righteousness, the path that leads to the kingdom of heaven, is often windy and stony and has thorns on the way. Not always popular truth. And we have an enemy. The dragon was enraged with the woman and make war with the rest of her offspring, who kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 14:12, here is the patience, here is the endurance of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Oh, how many people have taken the word of God and have set it aside. There are many, even in churches, who say, oh, the word doesn't mean what it says. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God means what he says and says what he means. They've substituted doctrines for the commandments of men. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, extort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And each and every one of us are ministers, a kingdom of ministers, a church filled with ministers, however capacity that is. Often men set aside God's word because, well, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right, so we set it aside. Often the feeling will change. And then we have to change what we believe again. It's our duty, it's our mission, it's our message to restore the old landmarks of truth to God's people. One of those is the Sabbath. The Sabbath set aside by man. And God calls us to restore the Sabbath. The very object of Reformation is to restore the old landmarks of truth to God's people. Another one of those is righteousness by faith, that our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. One of those is that we cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot pronounce penance. We cannot do all these different things because Jesus has already provided for us. Jesus told a parable about two men. One decided he was going to build a house, and he selected a beautiful location right there on the sandy shore. And he said, oh, it's going to be great. I can walk out and the ocean's right there, and I can cast my net and I can go in the boat and I can enjoy the beautiful sunrises and sunsets over the ocean. Oh, it's going to be so great. And he built his house. You know the story well. The storm come, the waves beat, the rains came down and the winds blew. And what happened to his house? It was no more. There was not a trace of it left because it was not built on a foundation. The other man looked and said, I'm going to build my house away from the shore. I'm going to dig down, and it takes effort and it takes work. And he dug down and then he drilled into that rock and he chiseled away at it and he set his beams in the rock and he built that house solid. And the winds came the winds blew and the rains came and that house stood firm because it's built on rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. On that firm foundation will your anchor hold in the storms of life. Let us examine ourselves. Let us see whether in the faith. We need to test ourselves. Do you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Are we willing to pray, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me? Are we willing to come to Christ just as we are? We don't need to listen to the devil. We already talked about that. Tell him to take his accusations somewhere else. Tell him to take them to Jesus. Jesus is our advocate. You know, the gospel should make us different people. It should make us a peculiar people. While the world is seeking a good time, we're seeking the kingdom of heaven. While the world is out partying, while the world is listening to a gospel of prosperity and feel good. We're uplifting God's word. He invites us to lift up the standard. This invites us to search our hearts with much prayer and in sincerity. You know, this starts with family worship. Do we have family worship in our homes? Are we opening the Bible and sharing with each other? Are we reading our devotionals? Are we praying with each other? Joshua 24:15. You know the text. No need to turn there. He invites the children of Israel, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Search the scriptures. Your source of strength is in the scriptures. Search, study, prepare your hearts. Hosea says to break up the fallow ground. Let him implant there. Let the Lord put his garden in your heart. And I remember Brother Ernie giving a sermon many years ago. He was talking about repentance. And he said, when we repent, you know, it needs to make us different people. And I believe, if I have it right, my memory doesn't fail me, he talked about how repentance should make us better people, better husbands, better fathers, better wives, better children, better husbands. It should make us better people. It should initiate a change in our hearts and in our minds. And then if it doesn't, then we need to question, have we repented at all? There's nothing more greater than a testimony of God's goodness when we see a changed heart and a changed life. We see him who was a wife beater, an argumentative person, become kind and gentle. Only the work of God can do that. It's a wonder, it's a miracle when we see those that are addicted to drugs, whom one psychologist that I know said he had a 10% success rate, he'd be man of the year. But we turn to Jesus, overcomes that problem. Jesus, our source of hope, our source of strength, our source of victory is Jesus. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The gospel should elevate our lives, transform us, make us kind and forgiving, just as he is kind and forgiving. To hold up the standard of truth. And when we do that, God will give us opportunities to minister. God will give us opportunities to evangelize. Now you may think, well, I'm too old, I'm too young, I have disabilities, I have problems, I have this, I have that. I want to tell you a story. I have it here on my phone, about a woman in Africa. She was old. She was blind. She was illiterate. She couldn't read, write, but you know what she wanted to do? She wanted so desperately to share the gospel with other people. So you know what she did? She went to the missionary who brought her to Christ, and said, give me a Bible in French. And she secured that Bible in French. Now, of course, she couldn't see it. She's now turned to John chapter 3, verse 16. And I want you to underline that text in red. I want you to underline that text in red for me. And then I want you to put a sticker there so I can turn to it. And that was done. And then she went to a school. She went to a school in the afternoon, just as the children, just after, well, in this case, young adults. It was a high school. And just as the young adults was coming out, she would find one and say, hey, here's, I have this underline here. Can you tell me what it says? And they would read it to her in French, and then she would ask him, "Can you tell me what it means?" And she did this many times. And then she would tell them the story about how she was led to Christ. She would tell them the story. And you know what the result was? The missionary reported that 24 young men from 24 of the schoolboys that lady led to the Lord had become pastors. Think not that you can't do anything. Think not. Ask not to be excused. The Lord tells us, don't ask for excuses. Don't look for excuses. But let's do the work that God has asked us to do. Let our light so shine before men that may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we pray that you will increase our desire for it, our love for it, and that we will truly search it and find in it that which brings us closer to you. Open our hearts to understanding, Father. As the psalmist said, open my eyes that I may see great and wondrous things from your law. May that be the desire of our hearts this day, Father. And we may be faithful in lifting up that standard of righteousness, Christ Jesus. For in his name we pray, amen.